How about this, guys?
I don't know.
Where's a place where pretty much where nobody has a gun? The airport.
Uh-huh.
From now on, the entire United States is an airport.
Oh, no!
No!
TSA is everywhere.
Everybody is going to have to leave America.
And come back in.
Come back in through TSA.
Oh, man. That's going to be a really long line.
It's going to be a really long line unless you have a...
Fast pass.
Pre-check.
Yeah, pre-check.
Hey, man, look what I did. If you did it, would you do it like this?
That's not how I do it.
I've been working myself to the bone, trying to pay off my student loans.
That's not how I do it.
I like carrots in my stew and a sprig of parsley. How about you?
That's not how I do it.
Break it down.
Would you do it in a jacket? Would you do it in a hat?
Would you do it like this?
I'd do it like that.
That's not how I do it.
Hello.
And welcome to That's Not How I Do It, the podcast where we tackle the most pressing issues in the world, fight over what went wrong, and come up with solutions so crazy they just might work. I'm Sam Chidley.
I'm James Miser.
And I'm James Miser.
What?
Two
That's
Jameses
right.
today.
We're two Jameses today.
Weird. Well, anyway, today we actually are going to be talking about a pressing issue in the world, like, for once.
Like an incredibly pressing,
really
not
pressing
just
issue.
Pressing, but depressing
yeah.
issue.
We're going to talk about yeah. gun control. Get
off,
ready for some really, like, funny stuff coming at you today. this is it's one of those topics that got to take seriously, or at least try to. Why are we talking about gun control in the first place? Like, why is this something that...
Because, man, it needs to happen. It's like... overdue in this country. It's
shit's out of hand, right?
It's insane.
Yeah.
A lot of people get killed.
I don't know. It seems like so many people have this idea of, like, okay, there's, like, the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms.
Yeah.
But does that also include the right to, like, live safely in the country, in the United States?
Yeah.
And it seems like it's less and less so, you know?
Yeah, so the Second Amendment argument, I've never found it very convincing. Look, I mean, like, if you're basing, like, all of your convictions around the tenets of our government that were set up when our country was founded, for one, like, I think that amendment is open to interpretation. Two, it's a bit archaic. But three, it's like, how married do we need to be to, like, the amendments that, you know, in the Bill of Rights, even?
Well, there's discussion about, like, you'd have to repeal it if you... Like, you have to respect it.
That's what I'm... I guess what I'm saying is, why is, like, repealing an amendment something that seems so impossible, can never happen, you know? Like, the idea of repealing, especially one of the first 10 amendments, seems like one of those, like, ideas that's so lofty and impossible that it doesn't warrant discussion. And I'm not really convinced by that. I understand that there's, like, ideological practicalities that we face in our country where we've got people who are so... on one side or the other of this and many other issues that it makes any progress seem impossible. But, like, the idea that, like, we can't revise laws just because, you know, they
some
were...
Some people said so, like 200 years ago.
30 years ago. Like, it's... I mean, I'm not... I just am not convinced by that argument at all.
No.
Yeah.
But the other thing that's interesting about the Second Amendment is that there's been very few cases that have gone to the Supreme Court to rule about it. And my understanding is one of the more cited Supreme Court cases was back in 1939. It was United States versus Miller, in which the court actually did say that the obvious purpose of the Second Amendment was to assure the continuation and render possible the effectiveness of state militias, not of, and that the amendment must be interpreted and applied with the end in view, with that end in view. So it's more about protecting the right of states and not the right of individuals.
Well, the court rulings since then have gone in the opposite direction.
Well, they've chipped away at that a little bit, but
yeah,
not completely.
That ruling not completely, but I mean, that feels, what you just described feels so tangential to the conversation at this point,
right,
in public debate. Like, nobody's talking about state militias. Like, nobody's like fighting for it to be the right of a state militia and not the right of the individual. And the court cases that have been decided in the past like half of a century have gone progressively more and more towards the individual gun owner's rights, and not like a collective right.
This is true. I'm just saying that like there are ways to, without repealing the amendment, to
reinterpret it.
Not even necessarily reinterpret it, but to just course correct the interpretation a little bit. Like, that's not, I think that's like more likely to happen
than a repeal. Yeah.
Not right now, probably.
So I guess I'm, all right, we're on this podcast where we get to do whatever we want. So I guess, like, if we're talking about like what is likely to happen, it's a very depressing thing that I have no control over. But like, what if we're able to just like throw the Second Amendment out the window, because that's our prerogative to change whatever we want. I'm asking, is that what we would want to do? Like, would you guys, or do you think we need the Second Amendment for some reason and need to reinterpret it? Because, like, personally, this is my personal feeling on guns. I don't think people need to have them. Like, I don't really care if the government takes away everybody's guns. Like, I'm fine with that. I know a lot of people don't feel that way, but the way I feel is if they completely got rid of my right to bear arms, I would feel better.
Yeah.
But I also recognize, like, all right, not everybody feels that way. And they, you know, if somebody like took a right that I do care about and threatened it, that would make me furious. So I can see the other side.
For me, some of it comes down to practicalities, I guess. Like, if we lived in this world where it's like you could just eliminate all the guns in the United States and repeal the Second Amendment, I'd be like, yeah, that's probably something I could get behind. But there's something like more guns in the United States than people. There's just an unbelievably large number of guns in the United States, to the point where it's effectively impossible to get rid of all of them, unless like the majority of the population really, really was behind that movement.
Oh, man.
So I feel like it's more like you need like a more of a cultural shift around how we view like guns in relation to how we feel about ourselves and our country before you can really just like change a law and have things be magically fixed.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. So yeah, right, because we could pass a law, and which that in of itself seems impossible, but then if the country's not ready for it, then that law is just going to get overturned later anyway.
And if you look at, we do have gun control laws, and a lot of them aren't even enforced very effectively.
So like, you're saying that we have some laws that are, and they're ineffective because like, they're not properly enforced.
They're not even being enforced. So I don't have a lot of confidence that without the cultural momentum behind it, and without like, you know, real support, if we can't even enforce our current laws, let's not fool ourselves into thinking that like we can magically pass a law and it's going to fix things.
So if I'm understanding you correctly, we need to address this cultural...
Gun culture in America.
The gun culture in America. And then we can try to actually make some sort of like policies or something. So how do we do that? What changes can we make that actually make people... What's the objective? Are we trying to get rid of guns in America? Or what? Like, what are we trying to do?
I was just thinking that, okay, so, like, I'm from Alaska, and I know a lot of people who hunt, and not just, like, hunt, like, big game.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, subsistence hunt.
Uh-huh.
You know, so they're, like, hunting for their food so they can eat. And that's, like, something that I have no problem with, honestly. Like, but at the same time, I do feel like there needs to be, I don't know, for me, like, I think there not just needs to be like a background check, but there needs to be like getting a gun license should be really difficult, I think. Mm-hmm. And it should be really restrictive in terms of like what kinds of guns you can have. Right. That's what I would like to see.
Okay. So guns still exist, but only certain kinds of guns, and they're hard to get.
Yeah. And and for specific people who have a proven use for them.
I feel comfortable with that as well. If you want to like hunt, and honestly for me, you can hunt for any reason. I don't really I don't really care if you're just like a game hunter or if you're doing it for food, as long as you're not hunting people. Like, but like, the so most if you want to have, yeah. Yeah, right. So, but if you need to have like a hunting rifle to do that, cool. But like, yeah, you have to demonstrate that you're. I think it's just like it's not just like oh I'm. Everybody who's like a in high school can get a fucking rifle. Like, you know, you need to like apply for it. I mean, this is a very like basic liberal argument about like why is it harder to get like a driver's license than it is to get a handgun?
Sure.
So,
yep.
We're not saying anything too controversial there, but
you know what? I think
I don't even think you need to get rid of. I don't even think that that's like really. In my interpretation of the Second Amendment, I'm not a constitutional lawyer, but I don't even really see that as being like in opposition to the Second Amendment. Like, you haven't denied anybody's rights to get a gun. You've just made it so that they've like
you've regulated them.
Yeah, you've regulated it.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that I think would be interesting would be if I'm not sure exactly how this would work, but if to get a gun you also had to have, say, like 3 to 5 other people vouch for you. And that they would have to take some sort of like liability in vouching for you.
Well, right. Well, then what if? Okay, so then what if rather than like a voucher system, maybe you need to collect like 100 signatures. You want a gun?
I don't know. I mean, I just don't really see like with this whole sort of like validation from your community buys us. I mean, if like I don't think anybody needs to have an assault rifle. Unless you're like in the military or like on a SWAT team, I just don't understand that.
All right, well, maybe assault rifle was a bad choice.
So,
but just say handgun.
I don't know. Like, I would want them to be able to say like, I want to get a handgun. Here's why I need it, and I think that needs to be a pretty high bar for me, because like I don't want people to have guns at all, honestly. So it's like if they're gonna have guns, like I want there to be like a demonstrated purpose to it, not just because. I think that the gun culture that I perceive the problem is that like people buy guns not because they need them but because they like them, like I just wish like gun owners would say that. Like, some of them do, but like the real argument is not like I need this to hunt or I need this to defend myself. It's I want it, and like it's in the Constitution that it says I get to have it, and you can't tell me that I'm not allowed to keep it for any reason.
Sure.
And it doesn't they should just admit, like, I want it. I think it's cool. That's why they have guns. If it was something that was based on need, there would be very few guns in this country because very few people actually need a gun. Like, a police officer needs a gun. A subsistence hunter needs a gun. But does somebody who wants to defend their house need a gun? I'm not convinced by that at all.
How about this? If you want to keep your gun, then you need to be shot by your gun.
Yeah.
Not fatally.
Just like in a toe or something. You have to lose a toe.
Just like in the fleshy part of your...
like in the love handle.
Well, your arm maybe.
Where are you going to shoot me that it's not going to hurt?
No, it's gonna definitely going to hurt. That's the whole point.
Okay.
I feel like if you want to have a gun, you should know what it's like to be shot by a gun.
Oof. I'll teach you some respect for that for the gun, I guess. Yeah.
And you got to pay for your own medical bills. Uh-huh. It's not covered by insurance.
Wow. That is a very high bar for gun ownership. What do you think, Jared? Where's the line?
Well, I think if you can't prove that you need a gun, right, for like subsistence hunting or whatever, then sure. You have to be shot first.
Uh-huh. So if you can't prove a need, like, you can still have a gun, but, like, this is what you have to go through to get it.
Imagine, like, the people who did have guns, though. I mean, I would feel
I would not feel safer in those people.
Yeah.
Like, you took a bullet.
You took a fucking bullet just so you could, like, own this gun that you have no use for? This is, like, not a good person to know.
Yeah.
We're
still, and the thing is, we're still not addressing this huge problem that you guys brought up, which is like you first have to change the gun culture before you can place any regulation that'll work. Like, what do we need to change for people to like? I mean, what is the problem that we have too many guns in this country, or that like We have guns in this country going to the wrong people, or do we have guns at all? Like, what are we trying to fix?
It's
all of that?
All of it. You can't, I mean, it's like, we have to fix all of it. We can't, if we just fix one thing, then we're not, you know, like, if you just fix the culture, then there's, that's probably the biggest thing is the culture, right? But, like, even if you do fix the culture with 90% of the country, like, the other 10% of the country still has access to, like, millions and millions of guns that are just, like, laying around.
So, all right, I guess here's my question is, like, what about gun culture are we trying to change? Are we trying to change this sort of, like, we want guns because we think they're cool, or, like, are we trying to change, like what do we say, what do we mean when we say that gun culture is the obstacle?
Well, I think there's a few things. I think there's, like, the embedded sense of, like, how integral guns were to American history, right? Because we kind of forcibly took all of the land from different types of people.
Yeah, we genocided our way through.
Right, but in like when you learn that in elementary school and middle school and high school, it's generally like, if not outright glorified, it's kind of like,
right, this like, pioneer mentality of like, you know, how the West was won kind of thing.
It's like,
right?
We won. We
frontiersmen.
Built this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not like looking at a look at like, oh, look at the dark side of murdering people to build the country.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
You know? So I think just like growing up, even just going to school, like through the education, you're getting a bit of a slant, even if it's unintentional. Just through the lens of like the victor, essentially, you're seeing like Americans with guns is like this thing that built the country that you were born in.
I guess I'm wondering what we're proposing to change when we're talking about the like the American narrative and how like how big a part guns played in the way that our country's history played out. Like, what change are we suggesting there?
I would change the framing in terms of, you know, it's nice to, like, be able to look back and say, like, oh, we're, like, victors. I think, like, you feel good about that, right? But I think to have a little bit more empathy to, like, how much just, like, bloodshed is behind where we are is a way of, I don't know, like, I think reframing a little bit more realistically, like the history of the country.
It's really hard though, because it's like, I would say that that's like a small part of it. I think that in pop culture, we also glorify the gun. I mean, look at like a movie like John Wick,
right?
You know, which I really enjoy.
Yeah.
But what is that? But like a super fetishistic portrayal of. Right. Of guns and like
gun,
violence,
gun kung fu, basically.
Yeah,
yeah. That's true. I mean, yeah. I think what I'm suggesting is just like one.
So, here's the thing. Like, so you're talking about like this, like how our cultural identity is wrapped up with this, like the history, like how guns have shaped our history and the way it's like glorified in our past. And I'm like, I think that's true, but. I'm not a gun owner, but it seems like the idea is not to like, it's not just like this historical perspective of like owning this gun puts me in touch with like a frontiersman or something. I think that's in there, but the idea of self-reliance and self-sufficiency, like the idea of America being something that you, you work hard and you go out and you get it for yourself. I think that idea is an outdated narrative that we are hanging on to from this historical period, which brought us here. But like that narrative, I think is very silly and out of place in the world that we actually live in. And I think rather than reframing how we teach the past, I think we need to like take a look at like what kind of narrative we're building right now and talk to kids about like, you know, this is not a country where you start off with a little and, work your way to the top. Like the way this country works is you're born into like a certain class, then like you work really hard and maybe you'll get some luck here and there, but for the most part you're gonna be fighting against the same things your entire life. And I don't know, I just think that like if there's something that we need to reshape in the way we're communicating to kids, I think we need to be selling them a narrative of our country that's more accurate to where we are now. Yeah. And where guns play into that is like, there is no, it is completely ridiculous to think of like owning a gun as this idea of like being a self-reliant, self-sufficient, you know, frontiersman or something. Like, I mean, there obviously are people who do that. There's like people who are like out in the woods hunting, but if you're like in the suburbs and that's your reason for like owning an AR-15, I mean, that's just like a ridiculous way to think. Yeah. I don't see any logical continuity to that argument that like I'm doing this as like a self-reliant American.
Yeah, I would like the narrative around guns to be very similar to maybe like the narrative around like a road grader or something.
Uh-huh.
Where it's like I know what they look like and like they're useful sometimes, but like I never would want one, you know? It's sort of like it's like a piece, like a piece of machinery that like has a function, but like it's not like a thing that's like that like has any extra value, you know?
Right.
Like no external cultural value attached to it.
Yeah.
Right. Just another tool.
Another tool that most people don't want, don't need.
Yeah.
Right. They're like, they want to go buy their meat in the supermarket. They don't want to.
Right.
Sit in like a deer blind for like a day and wait for.
Yeah,
wait for a buck to cross their path.
Right. I guess I wish guns were not a cool thing. If there was like some way to do that.
Yeah.
Like if it was like owning a if like owning a gun was something that was not necessarily shameful, but like difficult to tell people. Like if it was like something that you had to like explain to your family, this is why I have it. Like, and if that was like a difficult thing for you to do, I think we'd be in a much better place as a society. You know?
Well, what depends, because that's not like in a lot of parts of the country, like people are very open about owning guns and very proud of it, right?
Yeah.
Like it's not like a, it's like they'd be excited to tell their family. They're like, hey, I got another gun.
That's what I'm saying. I want it to be like why is it that a kid, I'm not going to point to like a particular part of this country, but like why might a kid be like reluctant to tell their parents that he's gay? But if there's like no shame or stigma attached to owning something that can like kill people, like why is it like not a shameful thing to own an AR-15? I don't understand like what the line of thinking is where it's like a person could be ashamed about like feelings they have, but they aren't ashamed to like want a tool that's designed to end lives.
Yeah. Maybe we change the media. Maybe if you like run a movie studio or a game company or a TV network or whatever, maybe like they should adopt a policy where like action is more, is thought about more carefully, I guess. I don't know. It's weird because on one hand, I'm like not the kind of person who's like violence is the reason for all of
these. Neither am I.
For all these mass shootings, I've never believed that. Even when Columbine happened, everybody was talking about like doom and like
right, all the studies done on that have shown there's no link. Right, it's like most people play or watch violent media, right?
But at the same time, though, I don't know. I think like I don't think that's the reason why somebody would go shoot up a school.
Right.
But I do think that might be like there is a connection between the prevalence of guns in our media and the prevalence of guns sort of like in our cultural on like a larger scale.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it's the reason why a school shooting happens. I do think it's the reason why my cousin has an AR-15.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I mean, like if. Like, because they're totally, because guns are being glorified in movies and TV. Like, they're made to look cool, and so people are going to want them. The same way that, like, cigarettes used to look cool, and people wanted them because they looked cool in movies and TV.
Should we redesign guns so that they, like, look really, really silly? or just like,
yeah, they look like dildos. If all guns looked like a greasy used dildo.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I want it to be dildo shaped.
Uh-huh.
I don't want like dildos to be associated with guns though.
Oh, that's a good point. I don't want to ruin dildos.
Yeah, I don't want to ruin dildos.
That's a good point. We just want to ruin guns.
Yeah.
I mean it could look like something that's like not very masculine. It could be like a rubber ducky.
Maybe guns are just like made out of poop.
Uh-huh. Yeah, like in your hands like smell like shit.
There's like a wet poop.
Yeah.
That's what a gun is now.
Yeah, they're all like mushy.
They're all mushy.
Yeah.
I do like that idea.
I want it to be like scent. If you pick up a gun, you're like, oh, this is gross.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, yeah. So it's like if you're going to like use it, like you have to like want to use it for a good reason, not just because you're like, yeah, I'm going to fucking pull this trigger, feel good. It's like, oh, gross. A gun.
Yeah.
My hands are all sticky.
Like,
yeah. Like guns. From now on, are only made out of stuff that's gross, like used chewed up bubble gum. That's been like,
yeah,
yeah, and used condoms.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're gonna change how guns are made to make them undesirable.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see any gun manufacturers buying off on this, but
no.
But I mean, you know, it is similar to the like making cigarette packs look. Really nasty, right?
Change the packaging.
Yeah. It's just in this case, like, you can't... Like, no one's going to care if you change what, like... I don't even know if guns probably don't even come in boxes, right?
I don't know. I've never bought
one. Get a box of guns. you can probably get that on Amazon now.
I think gun control is such a hard issue because there's so many facets to it.
Well, there are, but there's also this, like, very basic divide that people find themselves on one side or the other on, and I think which is like there's an escalating threat, I need to meet it with matching force, or like how about we de-escalate the threat and then nobody gets killed. Like there's like these are like two sides of the same argument, which is like everybody says they want peace, but like one version of the answer to that is like, well, if you have two guys with a gun, you've got peace. And the other answer is like, if you have two guys and neither of them has a gun, you've got peace. And like, those are just very different ways of viewing the world. And that's why there's like so little overlap.
Yeah.
And both sides are willing to admit that there's a problem when you have like one group of people that has a gun and the other group doesn't. Like, I think that's then it becomes very clear that there's a power imbalance and both sides are upset about it for different reasons. Like this, the problem that I think we're trying to solve, and this is I'm realizing maybe too big for us even on this show, is like, how do you get these two very different ways of thinking on the same page? Like, what idea can we present that tells a person who believes the only answer to school shootings is to put guns in a classroom, or the only solution to regular gun violence in cities is like a militant police force? You know, like what idea do we present that convinces them that the answer is less weapons instead of more weapons? Because that's the thing that you're fighting against. You're fighting against the idea that like the only solution to the problem is more guns. That's why they're hanging on to gun rights so bad. They actually think that like the answer is if I have a gun, then I'm going to be safer.
I don't know. It's honestly, it boggles my mind because like the things that I would say that would have taken us there have happened and have not taken us there.
Right.
You know, like, after Sandy Hook, I was like, surely something will happen. That's like,
right. This is the last.
This
straw.
Is an atrocity.
Yeah. It's.
But
it seems,
but like, it's
crazy.
Fucking nothing happened.
Right.
So I don't know. Yeah, gun control has broken us.
You almost need to start seeing examples of de-escalation, like, being effective. I think.
Uh huh.
Like maybe it starts with police forces adopting, you know, like better procedures for engaging with people, and then also more harsh punishment for officers that.
Yeah, that absolutely needs to happen.
Well, so the thing is, like, we have examples of de-escalation working, especially internationally. Like, this is gun control works.
Yeah, I know. Like, but I think you need to see it happening in America.
Yeah,
right.
Like, I think there's a very willful ignorance happening in America, which I don't know how to fix that either.
The other thing that I don't think necessarily would be that effective, but it, I think is definitely there's like an aspect to gun control too, where there's a lot of like racism involved in enforcement of gun laws, right? You know, like, and if you look at like concealed carry, it's like white people aren't as like afraid of getting pulled over by a cop if they have a gun, right?
Right, right.
Whereas if you're a black person who has concealed carry, even if you do everything right, like, you might still just get shot. Which I don't know exactly how like you can use that to to like try to convince people that like we should be addressing this issue of in a way that is conducive to more gun control. But it is like just another problem,
right? Yeah, it's another problem, and I agree with you. But like, yeah, I think you've just pointed it out, is that like telling people that the thing that they like is racist, like, is not going to convince them.
Definitely not.
It's like we've seen that is not an argument that works on anybody.
Right. No, people are more inclined to.
Even if it's true, you know, like, they're going to shut down.
Right. I don't think like attacking a group of people is a way to get them to change their mind, right? That's a way for them to dig in deeper.
Right.
I think that's another one of the roadblocks that we run into when talking about these things, is that gun deaths are in a lot of ways like more of like a statistics thing, right? Like, because it's like, say if you're a responsible gun owner, you're like, well, I'm never going to shoot anyone.
Mm-hmm.
So that you don't have like that sort of like human emotional connection to like the statistics of how many people are murdered every year by, or not even murdered necessarily, but just killed every year by,
yeah,
by guns.
Like, I mean, or suicides. I mean, like, America also has like this like gigantic,
right,
almost completely undealt with suicide problem, that it has been statistically like demonstrated that it's impacted by guns, like the number of guns in our country.
Right, most of the
majority of gun deaths, yeah, is suicides.
Right, yeah. And there've been like a lot of research behind like how suicide rates go down when you don't have access to guns. Like, a lot of those people won't kill themselves if they don't have a gun.
Right,
some of them will, but not all of them.
So I forget how we got into that, but
We're talking about statistics and how like
it's not a compelling argument to show somebody a statistic.
It's not emotional, right? It's not like, it's just like some numbers that you don't really have a personal experience with.
Right.
And I think that's like similar to like a lot of the talk around healthcare. Uh-huh. Right? It's all around like these numbers that don't really mean anything on an emotional level.
Right, it only affects you when it affects you, kind of thinking, you know? It's hard to think about something in the abstract. And, like, I agree with that, except that, like, I feel like we're surrounded by gun death. Like, it's it's not just a statistic. Like, I don't know anybody personally who's died by a gun, but that doesn't change the fact that, like, I feel like our culture is immersed in it. It doesn't feel real to me in the way that it feels real to somebody who does know somebody who's died
by
a gun.
I don't know, though. When you're looking
at it, doesn't feel like an abstract problem to me either. It feels like something that affects people in a real way.
Yeah, you're also not seeing like images of like these like murdered students, right? There's a certain amount of the graphic quality to this that we're all blind to.
I don't know, but at the same time, I think that the students at Stoneman Douglas High School have been successful because they've actually realized that they have like a platform, right?
Right.
Where it's like they can actually like tell the story of like what happened to them in a way that victims, I guess, like hadn't really organized in that way prior.
Yeah, and they're pulling off something incredible, which is like they're breaking the news cycle. Like that, like this, we've gotten so, this is the thing with Sandy Hook, even was like, as tragic and shocking as that was, the news cycle did end and moved on to other things. And as soon as that happens, like, then every legislator and politician, everybody's at least off the hook.
Yeah.
For doing anything about it, because there's no longer any pressure on them. And like something that's really interesting that about this group of kids is they're just like not letting that happen. They're like not letting their news cycle end.
Yeah.
And yeah, they got this platform and they're like keeping it. Which blows my mind. Like, I think about like when I was 17, like what I was doing, it was nothing nearly as useful or brave. So that's, right. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I think we should just mention really quick as well, just that, like, I think the students have been good about, keeping this top of mind for themselves as well, is that part of the reason that they do have a lot of this visibility is because they come from a place of a little bit of privilege and had like,
yeah,
help behind them. And there have been groups trying to do activism, like Kids in Chicago, around all the gun violence there, that just hasn't gotten the visibility due to like privilege and race issues. So not to take anything away from the Stoneman Douglas students, because I think they've actually been very cognizant to the point of actually like interfacing with some of the activist groups in Chicago.
Right.
I mean, it's important to remember these other cultural things caught up in when we talk about guns. Yeah. So we've been talking a lot, right, about like the challenges culturally, but I think sometimes you have to look at what our goal is, right? Is the goal to shift the culture, or is the goal to just reduce gun deaths? Obviously they're related, but like, I think, you know, there's the, I think you guys had mentioned there's the famous like Chris Rock stand up bit where he talks about how, what would it be like if bullets cost?
He's talking about bullet control.
Bullet control. Right. Like there's like practical things you could do that don't take away rights necessarily, but that do, they could potentially have an effect on the number of deaths, on reducing the number of deaths. An example going along with like in a similar vein to the Chris Rock thing, like what if this is a really stupid idea, but what if just like 50% of bullets were duds? Like when you buy ammunition, just like half of them just don't, like,
I feel like the what's going to happen is people are going to shoot twice as many bullets.
Well, but magazines are the same size, right?
Why? I don't understand what you're fixing with this. Like,
so I'm just like, saying,
you're just
if
making
half the
them
time
less
when you
effective?
Shoot.
Like, is that the idea? Like guns are now unreliable?
Yeah.
I would like it if, like, at 50% of the time a gun blows up in your hand. Then I'd be like, that'd be fine with me. Like, you're like taking a shot at somebody, but you might blow off your own hand. That's the risk that you have to take.
Some more backfires.
More backfires. I don't know. I don't know, because I don't really believe that, because I want like cops' guns to work.
Obviously there'd have to be some exceptions.
I don't know.
But my point being that was a bad idea, bad example. But maybe there's like practical,
things. Maybe what if you paired it with this? Okay, so like half the bullets either explode in your hand or are duds, and your gun is like an old-timey like musket system, so you can only shoot one at a time.
I like that.
So, you know, it's sort of like in keeping with the spirit of the Constitution.
right.
Where it's just like very much.
Yeah, you have the right to bear guns, but they kind of suck.
These ones.
Yeah, these guns are like
these
not
guns
great.
Are from like the 1700s. So
right. You have the right to bear these arms.
These ones right here that we've kept from the 1700s.
Right.
So I think that's like a more literal and accurate reading of the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where it's like when our founding fathers wrote the Bill of Rights, they said that the Americans have the right to bear arms, and they were referring to specifically the arms that were already in the United States at the time.
Yeah.
They weren't referring to future arms.
Right.
Just like those ones.
For all we know, they could have been referring to bear arms.
Right. You could wear tank tops.
We have the right the animal. We have the right to that animal's
arms. I don't want to
Yeah,
you didn't have to cover your arms.
You all have the right to bear arms.
No, I don't want people to like cut off a bunch of the arms of a bunch of bears.
It's in the Constitution, though, and if it's in the Constitution, it must be right.
What about grafting bear arms onto, replacing your arms with bear arms?
Yeah,
I would.
I'm not in favor of this pun-based change. Yeah,
no, I'm not in favor of it either. I'm just using it to demonstrate how silly it is to like get caught up in these like word interpretations of the Constitution, because they're so archaic, and it was like not a great sentence to begin with. It's like it's a very confusing amendment, and it never made sense. And it especially doesn't make sense now. I think all of it's very silly, and we should just be thinking about, well, what do we want the Constitution to be now? You know, like not this idea of like sticking to like the letter of the law, like written over 200 years ago, just doesn't make any sense to me to think that way. Like, what do we want our country to be? Like,
right.
To be a question that we constantly reevaluate.
Well, we also have a history of reinterpreting amendments through the justice system in a way that, you know, either, well, in a lot of cases, dramatically increases their power, right? Like, a lot of the Constitution was used for a lot of civil rights reforms in the 60s, right? So you could also do the opposite with an amendment. Is it through the justice system really weaken it?
What would that look like? I wonder if we could come up with some ideas.
I mean, like, for the state to run a well-regulated militia, it's like the National Guard,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, like, the police forces. Honestly, even for, like, a lot of subsistence-type things, you don't even necessarily need to... A lot of, for hunting, like, you don't even need to own rifles, right? You can just go and, like, if you want to go on a hunting trip, it can be approved vendors where you, like, rent a rifle for your trip,
right.
And then you return it. I think there's clearly, like, a multitude of regulations that would reduce the number of guns that people have access to.
So you're saying just kind of, like, regulate it to death?
Not quite to death, but, yeah, like, a stranglehold on it.
Yeah, yeah.
But... I think maybe one thing we haven't talked about yet is, what do you do with all the guns that are already in America, right? Because you can have these regulations, you can enforce that.
Yeah,
there's still like 300 million guns. Yeah.
Who is it? Was it Australia that did the buyback?
Yeah, but that requires like the cultural backing, right, for people to actually return their guns.
Yeah,
right.
We're not going to get that, I don't think. We haven't come up with anything that would significantly... impact the culture enough to make that effective.
Which is the only way, because like even if you change it so that the government says like, all right, everybody give up your guns, I can't picture a version of our government where like either where people like willingly give up their guns to the government or the government going out and getting them. Like, I can't picture either of those things happening in our country. So right?
What if the Pope was like, hey, throw away all your guns.
I mean, then maybe some Catholics would. Like, that's the...
But then, and then you got, like, Selena Gomez to, like, tweet, like, to have an Instagram that was like, hey, guys, guns aren't cool.
Mm-hmm.
Should throw them away. And then, so then that's, like, you get, like, another segment of the population that's like...
I think you need to get Ted Nugent to say it, not Selena Gomez. It's the problem. Because, like, their heroes are different. That's the thing, is, like, I don't know. You have to change the minds of the people who
you need veterans returning, like giving their guns back and promoting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or ex-cops, or like people that gun owners have respect for, right? You need like pieces like published in Field and Stream about like hunters who gave up their guns and just go through with this rental program instead.
Right. I don't know how you get rid of people's guns. That's that part of it is really mind-boggling, because they have to want to give them up, and that's the only way.
You know what you could do, potentially. I don't actually know if this would work, but you could regulate gun manufacturers to change the like dimensions of magazines, essentially make it impossible or near impossible to load old guns with new bullets.
Well, so that you could take that even a step further, Jared, and you could stop the manufacture of bullets. And eventually people are going to just run out of bullets.
So here's what we do. We amass a fortune. Maybe we get, like, Jeff Bezos to give us all his money.
Uh-huh.
And then with that, we buy every bullet manufacturer in the world, and then shut them down?
Yeah, but someone will just start a new one and make a ton of money. I mean, you could just tax. You could literally just do the Chris Rock thing and just tax bullets like nobody's business.
No, I actually don't like that idea at all, because then the only people who have guns are rich people, which just sounds like the worst version of the world.
Well, the only person that have bullets, I guess.
Maybe we can make guns less effective by everybody just as always wearing bulletproof everything.
God, that sounds awful.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say that it's like paintball or something.
No, because like if I can't take away somebody's, I don't know, I'm feeling very defeated in my attempts to take away people's guns.
Yeah.
So at least maybe I can make it so their guns aren't going to like totally kill me.
A minute ago, when we bought the bullet factories, it was like, well, can we change bullets to like, if we stop the production of them, you're right, like somebody else is just going to open up a bullet factory unless we make it so that like government is the only entity that can produce bullets, which is also a change that nobody will make.
Yep.
But if we, like, we bought all the bullet factories and changed bullets to make them like non-lethal, like if all bullets were like non-lethal and people can go on shooting each other but not killing each other, that's at least like a step.
But I don't even think that's going to work, cuz like we bought all the bullet factories, but then like Jared said, somebody else is going to open up a extra lethal bullet factory. There's going to be a market there, like that opens up, and somebody's going to
unless you say lethal bullets are now illegal. That's the only way you can stop that. Is that you, at some point you would have to be regulating.
They're bullets, but they only go into your body like
a
quarter inch.
Just a little bit. It hurts.
I think we have to all just wear Kevlar everything.
Uh-huh.
If we all wore Kevlar everything, then
that's gonna take like so much longer to like get dressed for work.
No, it would just be so sweaty. It'd still look like you're wearing jeans, a jean jacket and jean pants, except they'd be made of Kevlar.
Uh-huh.
Let's just get Kevlar woven under our skin.
It like a bullet breaks the skin, but hits your Kevlar undersuit.
Yeah,
that's a pretty hard thing to implement. Is to like biologically
dermal
like graft
surgery on everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody gets a government issued bodysuit. It's made out of Kevlar.
Yeah, but temperature is going to be a big issue. You're just going to be sweating buckets.
Yeah, we're going to be sweating buckets, but somebody shoots you, maybe you won't be dead.
I don't think we fixed it yet.
No, we didn't. All we did was get me really angry. Who'd have thought this would be a difficult thing to come up with solutions to?
Let's just vote on it. Let's just vote on whether or not we should have guns or not.
Okay. I think you guys probably picked up on where I stand.
Let's vote all in favor of gun control. Say A.
A.
A?
A.
We're saying A?
We're like Fonzie.
A. A. Gun control. A. Yeah.
Opposed? Say nay.
Crickets.
Crickets.
All right, I guess we did it.
We did it, guys.
We did it. We just... No guns. Oh, no, we said gun control is what we wanted, not no guns.
Do we want to just go for no guns?
You know what? It's like, as vehement as I get about this, I'm not willing to say no guns because I because I do understand the idea of, like, this is something I care about, like... What if somebody came along and said, you know, that right doesn't matter, you know? I think there is something to that.
I say we just restrict guns to places where they have use. Like, you can use guns recreationally, but the gun never leaves, like, the shooting range.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm comfortable with, like, all right, if repealing the Second Amendment is too lofty and, like, just, like, my, like, liberal daydream, we're not going to do that. So, but I think it is fair, like, let us just, like, regulate it to the full extent of the law, just like squeeze everything we can out of that Second Amendment. It's like, yeah, you have the right to bear arms in this very specific, limited way.
You can still hunt, you can still shoot for fun, but it's like, you can't just have...
I don't even think you should be able to shoot for fun. actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
No paintball. It's too much like guns.
Nothing.
You shouldn't be able to do anything where you're even mock shooting at somebody.
Mm. Wow. That's very strict. James, at the last minute, pulls out like the strictest suggestion.
Even if you do finger guns at me?
Oh, man.
Not allowed.
Finger guns. I love doing finger guns.
Don't even think about
it. Does that make me a
bad person?
I'll
put you in jail.
Oh, man. Hey.
Not cool Fonzie jail either.
Well, listeners, if you have some sort of silver bullet for the gun control problem that we haven't mentioned today, could you please leave that in an iTunes review?
Don't even... you shouldn't even be allowed to say the term silver bullet.
Oh. Yeah.
Go ahead and shoot us a review.
Yeah, shoot us a review. That is how we communicate with Congress.
You should... And playing pool should now just be playing pool, not shooting pool.
Uh-huh.
And if there's
and
any
no,
other...
no bows and arrows either.
Can you still shoot the shit?
Nope, no shooting the shit. Unless
well, what
you're
are you
referring
doing?
To,
I would like to know where that expression came
unless
from.
Unless you're referring to the gun that's made out of poop that we talked about earlier
right,
in
right,
the show.
The poop gun.
Yeah, tossing the turd.
All right. If you have any more gun-based puns, we would also like to hear about those on Twitter. You can send those to us at That's Not Pod.
Under my new legislation, gun-based puns will also be unacceptable.
Yeah, James is going for like this like authoritarian state where only the government can make gun-based puns.
Should we give a special thanks to gun control activists who are actually doing real things?
That's a good sentiment. We should thank the men and women, some of them very young men and women, who are actually fighting the good fight to get us some real gun control in America. Thanks, guys. We appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, until next time.
Bang, bye. Bang.
Tuss, tuss. Tuss, tuss. All right, bye, guys.
Bye.